The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome on this Feast of the Sacred Heart. I have a lot to talk about today, I'll tell you. You know, and just rushing into the,
literally,
into the studio, literally.
Yeah. We're flying in here.
But, you know, it's a funny thing. I was, it's not a funny thing. It's a sad thing, but a real thing. Mm-hmm. I was praying and preparing, okay? Mm-hmm. So the two PRs.
The two P's.
Praying and preparing. Praying and preparing, yeah. For the radio today and I, because I know it was the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and I wanted to pick up where we left off yesterday with an emphasis on the Holy Eucharist, Corpus Christi, right? The,
yes,
the body of Christ. And that really, therein we find, or we lean into, the heart of Jesus, just as St. John did at the Last Supper, seated there next to the Lord. But anyway, so I was praying and preparing, you know, at the same time this morning. And, well, let me just preface this by saying that I received an email message last week, and it was, I'm not going to be able to put this into context because I don't remember why I got the email. I think it was in response to, mm-hmm, this was from parents, a mother and father of one of our students. And they reminded me that I had their wedding, and I know what it was, because we had a meeting, you know, with regards, mm-hmm, to fundraising.
Yes.
And they responded and said, you know, they couldn't make it because they're both chefs. They both had to work. And I remember writing them back, and I said, and I forgot that I had the wedding. They reminded me I had the wedding many years ago. It was a wonderful, wonderful family, a beautiful family. But I forgot that I had the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that they were chefs. But I wrote back and I said, you know, wow, what a gift. Because I thought, if I had my life to live over, I've thought about this every so often, or let's say a task would be assigned to me in heaven, I said, I'd kind of like to be a chef. And why? Because you gather people around food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Food and conversations. This is a very, very, yes, beautiful thing, you know, and some cultures do it much better than we do. In fact, I think we're doing it very poorly. But cultures, especially in Latin America and the Mediterranean, countries where especially the meal,
mm-hmm,
at 1 o'clock or in Spain,
evening,
you know, even,
yeah,
in the evening at 9 o'clock, you know, because their life goes on much later into the,
mm-hmm,
night.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't just sit down and eat and run, you know, you gather the people around the table and you spend a lot of time,
yeah,
you know, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah. You enjoy each other's company.
You enjoy the food, you enjoy the company.
I
could just tell you stories, you,
yeah,
know, of beautiful experiences,
mm-hmm,
both in Mexico as well as in, especially in Italy,
mm-hmm,
in Greece. I remember entire afternoons where you spend the whole afternoon and the food comes slowly. But, you know, you savor the food, and you get the point,
mm-hmm,
right? So, and one of our students, I think I mentioned this before on the radio, one of our students once told me, I was doing an interview. These were students who were preparing for confirmation. I said, well, you know, I would ask them, what do you envision yourself being? What do you want to do with your life? And this one child said, a student said, he wanted to be a chef. And again, I said, you know, this is a, what a beautiful vocation, you know, sure. Because this is, it's just, you know, to gather people around, mm-hmm. around food. I was thinking about that, this morning, for some reason, mm-hmm. went into prayer, and I'm praying and preparing for the radio, and it's the Feast of the Sacred Heart, and I was before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, I had the monstrance was exposed in the chapel, and I was reflecting on my own lifelong journey and how important the Blessed Sacrament is, and how different my prayer is. Mm-hmm. I pray differently when I'm in the presence of the Holy Eucharist. So I was thinking about that, and then I was reflecting on, you know, going back to my struggle with the Eucharist, the mm-hmm. Holy Eucharist. The Church professes faith in the Eucharist, that the body and blood, that bread and wine really, really become the body and the blood of Jesus. Food for the journey. That we not collapse, and communion, right? Mm-hmm. Communion, because mm-hmm. it's there that we're in the presence of He who feeds us. Now I'm making another. Do you get the point?
Yes, it's all connected.
It's connected.
Yeah.
So I went back, and I was going to read it today, and I probably won't because of other then something else happened. By the way, hi, Tony, Christina,
my father,
Nick. I'm sorry. You know,
that's okay.
It's just that I'm running in, and
well,
I get this stuff on my mind, and mm-hmm. So I was. I was drawn back to my own Eucharistic conversion, mm-hmm. where for about 2 years, I think it was, I was just struggling, really. I was about 18, 19 years old, 19, 20 years old. I had been away from the church, and I was, for a lot of reasons, you know, I write mm-hmm. about that. And I was, you know, trying to understand, you know, Catholicism, specifically Catholicism, because I was around many, many Christians of what we call ecclesial communities, mm-hmm. right? Denominational churches. And they would invite me to their churches, and I would go, and it was a nice community and very energetic and passionate worship in some cases, very powerful preaching. But nothing grabbed me as I was grabbed as a child in the Catholic Church. And so so at that point in my life, I was, after having not been to Mass for about 5 years through high school, wanted to be a pilot and all that, and was in the Civil Air Patrol, and that's where my vision was, my hope was. And so, but I began to ask the question, what is the meaning, the purpose of life? You know, what is this all about? And as I was going to college, my first 2 years of college, I began to reinvestigate or kind of catechize myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand what is it, because I knew I had this very, very powerful love for the church when I was a child, and I wondered about that, you know? Could I find that again? But so many things were happening in the church at that time. That was in the 1970s, and it was just a crazy, crazy time. Talk about the devil, how the devil was working mm-hmm. to upturn or turn things everything mm-hmm. around, and people's. I mean, even and it's an ongoing battle, right? It's just it never stops. But anyway, so the thing is, the thing that I couldn't grasp or couldn't accept. So I kind of thought of myself as an agnostic. That I knew there was a God, but I didn't. You know, figured He was just kind of hidden behind in His heaven beyond the beyond. But I struggled with the teaching on the Eucharist, that Jesus really gives Himself as food for the journey, that He feeds us, that bread and the wine really, really, really become the body and blood of Christ, as the church teaches. And I thought, if I can't accept that, then I can't be a Catholic. It wouldn't make any sense, right? Would it?
Mm.
And so I, for 2 years, I read, I bought encyclopedias, Catholic encyclopedias, I read magazines, I read books, but nothing would suffice. I tried to pray. I struggled with the prayer. I'd go to Mass, stay at the very back of the church. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the whole story. I was going to read it, but and maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. But the but it was by the grace of God. In a day, and this is the thing that I'm getting to this point, and I wrote about this in the Mother's Plea. There was a day after this 2-year search when I was in the pits. I had kind of hit rock bottom. I felt there was no meaning, no purpose to life. Didn't quite know who I was. Didn't seem to know where I was coming from, where I was going. You know, it was just one of those days where you feel like, well, I felt like this. You know, I was leaving work. I'd been to school. I'd gone to work. I left work, and I'm driving, feeling this emptiness, feeling this darkness, a loneliness, that life has no meaning, life has no purpose. There was a real deep interior suffering, a conflict that I was enduring. And I remember thinking, you know, the better thing is to take this car and just drive it over the bridge into the Gulf of Mexico and end it all. Be done with this misery. Be done with this meaningless life where there's no purpose to living. Do you get the point that I'm making? Yeah. And I don't know that I would have done that. I just remember the feeling was there. It was very strong.
Feeling at the time.
I was feeling at the time. And I say this unapologetically because I think many people have had moments in life where they feel like, you know, it's better to kind of check out, right? And so as I'm driving, I saw this, the church that I was going to is a Catholic church, St. John's, and people were going into the church, and I thought, well, that's odd, you know, it's a Thursday night. I don't know that I was conscious of it being Thursday, but it just happened to be Holy Thursday. I'm kind of getting into the whole story, but I'm not going to go right there because I want to, it may be later, but the point is I decided, well, I'll stop in the church as well. And I did. And that was really a life-changing experience because it was in that Mass that God revealed himself to me in the most profound, the most tender, the most intimate way that indeed that bread and wine in the consecration ceased to be bread and wine, but indeed, in fact, mysteriously become the body, the blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And at the end of the Mass, as everybody left, we have the adoration, which is the tradition in the Catholic Church on Holy Thursday, because that's the day that Jesus instituted not only the Holy Eucharist, but also the priesthood. And so I was so overwhelmed, so moved by this experience. And I remember staying in the church and I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament, and people had left the church. There were just a handful of people. And I thought, how could people leave? Oh my gosh, God is here. God is here. How could they leave? You know, I'm thinking this. And I'm there and I'm praying. And when I say praying, I'm just there. Mm-hmm. I'm just there. It's just this unbelievable peace and this sense that I was out of time and space. I was in this space of infinity, eternity, transcendence, whatever you want to call it. But it was just unbelievable. And so as I'm there, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, from the host, from that consecrated host, the Eucharist, Jesus said, and I went back and I reread it after I was going, as I was thinking about this, I had to go back and say, I wrote about this, I got to go back and reread this. And Jesus says, he said, Tony, he said my name twice. Mm-hmm. He said, this is what it's all about. This is the heart of the church. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. And immediately, I was taken back to childhood with the same desire to be a priest, because that's all I wanted.
Wow.
As a child. So just I knew in that moment I knew that I would be a priest. But the point, there's a lot of points I'm making, but so it as I was reflecting this morning praying, it was the heart, the Sacred Heart. And I realized as I was in the chapel praying, and I later reread the chapter, and I was so moved by it, but I'll tell you why, because I thought, before I went and reread the chapter, I was thinking, reflecting on my whole life, and how it hasn't been easy, and how often I've wanted to walk away, and how often I felt, I just can't do this anymore. And if not for the Eucharist, if not for the chapel and Christ there, I mean I realized through my whole life that's been my my place of refuge. It's been my oasis. It's been the place of consolation in the dark night, or a place of having thirst satiated in the desert, even if that thirst wasn't satiated. It was just having to suffer the dry dirt of the desert or the dark of the dark, the very dark of night. But it's just that, but deep down, even in that, in what seemed like the Lord's absence, that somehow I knew he was there. And I just was thinking, I've survived because not only, but primarily, principally because of the Holy Eucharist, that this is the heart. This is the heart. And just like John at the Last Supper leaned into the heart of Jesus, that's what we do in adoration. We don't have to say anything. Now, the point of all this is that I left the chapel. I was inspired to reread the chapter in the book, which helped me to relive all those experiences, even that moment when I wanted to drive the car over the bridge into the Gulf of Mexico because I felt there was no meaning, no purpose to life. It was so much suffering and pain, interior things going on. And so I read the whole chapter. I was moved by the conversion, the whole, how God's grace was so powerfully made manifest. And then I read of the suicide of this guy. Do you know his?
Bourdain.
Bourdain. Yeah, Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, it was suicide?
He committed suicide.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he was a chef.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope you get.
Yeah, I'm getting it.
So I was just over. I don't have television. When I go home, I like to watch food channels.
Right.
When I'm in Rochester and I have, I'm waiting and I have a hotel and I like the food channels. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have TV, but I do see him. I like him. He's on CNN. And he goes all over the world. And I always thought, what a life, my gosh, what a life, to be all over the world and to be in the midst of all these different cultures and to partake in the cuisine of different cultures and rare foods and all that, and to share company and conversation and all that. And I thought, wouldn't that be the best life?
Yeah.
So after all this, and I read that he committed suicide, he hung himself.
Wow.
And I hope you get a sense of what I'm trying.
Yeah, I
do. It was like this whole morning has been unbelievable. So we're going to take a break and come back, and I want to, then what I did is I began to read about what's being reported about his suicide, and what causes me a deep pain is that we are so reluctant to go to Christ. We live in a time, And there's a lot of reasons for this. I'm certain of this, but the devil is so powerful. I mean, God is more powerful. We're in the battle. It's a spiritual battle. But the devil sometimes seems to have the upper hand. And as a priest, I said, how do you reach into the hearts of people? How do you bring them to the source of life, to the purpose, the meaning of life, to him whose love is incomprehensible and who's closer to us than we are to ourselves and who didn't deceive us? This is the thing, people. He didn't deceive us. Jesus said in many ways, at many times, but the night before he died, after he instituted the Eucharist, he said, it will not be easy. And the road is narrow. It's a difficult path. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You're going to have trial and tribulation. You're going to have distress. But I've chosen you to be my emissaries, to be my light. I want to live through you so that others will come to know, to love, and to serve me, because I am life. And life is about responsibility. It's about obligation. It's a work from here to there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're not going to be here forever. Even if you live 100 years, that's a very short time when you consider the whole of history. And so I think, because I was just reading today, too, that suicide in the United States has increased by 25% in the last decade. In many states, in 25 states, the rise in suicide more than 30%, you know? I'm wondering if the absence of God, which we've chosen, the absence of religion, which we've chosen, is not, principally speaking, the problem. It's a question.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back, and I want to look at Anthony Bourdain, what a friend of his said, which what I thought was extremely powerful, and has been already unbelievably criticized for saying what he said. And also Kate Spade, you know, who committed suicide a few days ago, I think, a fashion designer. Look at that maybe briefly, but then delve, I hope, into the source of our strength, our consolation, our peace, our joy, even in the trials and tribulations, the sufferings that are inherent in life in this world. Again, remember, people, and you got to remember this. You must know this. You have to know this. Life is good. Life is a precious gift, but fragile. While life is good, and we're fully committed to life because of who we are, because of who God is. I mean, as Christians, but we're not condemned to be here forever. This is the place where we have to learn to fight the good fight, weather the storms, bear with each other, carry each other from here to there. All right? So we'll come back, and I want to go back to Anthony Bourdain and just a little bit more about him, but what his friend said, and how this friend is being really criticized, and yet I think we have to hear what he says, because I concur with that. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Another tear. Floors as low. Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So we're talking about what today is, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm saying basically the Holy Eucharist is our access into the heart of Jesus. That is the heart. You know, God has a heart that is ever tender, ever loving, ever merciful. As Jesus said to St. Maria Faustina, no matter how steeped you may be in sin, no matter how scarlet your sins may be, you know, come to me. He doesn't want to condemn anybody. I mean, from the cross, my gosh, from the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. You know, they know not what they do. And I'm saying that for we as Catholics, the gift, the privilege, the grace that we have, and I wonder how many of our people even know it, is that we have access. We can, you know, God is tangible. We touch him. He touches us. He feeds us. We have communion. I mean, adoration is, I forgot, in the Greek and the Latin, the word is a little bit different. Adoratio in Latin is mouth to mouth, the kiss, the embrace. This is adoration. You know how when we begin the Mass, we genuflect, and as I go up to the sanctuary, what is the first thing I do?
I kiss the altar,
you know? This is a form of adoration. It's a very, 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 it's a physical gesture that communicates loving intimacy with God, our desire for ourselves. At first, it's submission. I mean, it's the two. In the Greek, I forgot what the word is in the Greek, but it's it means submission. Mm-hmm. Submission to incomprehensible love, to he who created us, he who gave us life. submission, that I give myself to him who gave me life. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it, really? Mm-hmm. And the adoration of God. But I'm saying this for us is very tangible because we have, I understand, even after all these, I'm still amazed, still trying to delve deep into this mystery that he does indeed remain with us in this way. And there is something radically different about praying before the Blessed Sacrament, the adoration of Christ, our communion with him in the Mass. We call it the sublime mysteries of our faith, but that's the heart. That's the heart of Jesus, you know? He beckons us to himself. He seats us right beside him as he seated John next to him at the Last Supper, and that we lean into the heart of Jesus as John leaned into the heart of Jesus, you know? That we have his ear. It's a powerful image when you think about it. Mm-hmm. We have the ear of God. Because we've given him our heart, as he's given him, you know. It's
sure.
So when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," everybody looked to John and they said, "Ask him." They knew that John had the ear of Jesus; mm-hmm. He was the beloved disciple, and they all looked to him and they said, "Ask him who it is," you know, because they knew that Jesus would confide in John, right? And now, you know, by virtue of baptism, we have access to that same kind of intimacy with God, sinners as we are. If we just humble ourselves and go to him in our sufferings, in our needs, with our desires, with our hopes, with our dreams, in our brokenness, in our woundedness, in our sinfulness, you know, it's just, he begs us. He's begging, you know, just come to me in silence. This. An intimate silence, you know. That's why I can't get into the. I'm going to tell you right now. People flock to the mega churches, evangelical churches, the pentecostal, you know, all the where there's noise and there's all this. I remember I used to go to these masses. Forgive me if I offend anybody by saying this because I know that the Spirit is working there, but it's to lead us to something more profound. Mm-hmm. And so years ago, I don't do it anymore because I can't be, I don't want to be manipulated by the music or by the you know, you get, I would be called to celebrate a charismatic mass or something. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, and if the priest was really passionate and if he was screaming and yelling and he was all over the place and all that, people would say, oh, he's really filled with this. He's got the Holy Spirit and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I would go and I would, you know, this is years ago, and I would, I try to, okay, so this is, I felt like I was having to perform for the people. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and yet they would say, oh, this is the Father's Anthony, he's filled with this, he's got the Spirit and all that kind of stuff. And I come back, and you know what I do? I go into my chapel mm-hmm. to pray, to be silent, to let this other stuff go. Because for me, it was false. And I'm not saying that people are,
sure.
You please understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that I think the charismatic, the fervor, the passion, the exuberance that so often is seen there, maybe like in the very early church, you know, this powerful point of the Spirit is to lead us to something deeper mm-hmm. or somewhere deeper, you know. To be in silence in the presence of Jesus and let the Lord say, as he said to the, as he told the disciples the night before, because see, religion can become a drug. Mm-hmm. It can become, if I can keep myself on a spiritual high, that's why, you know, so often people, I've heard this, I've seen it, you know, they're seeking out the gurus.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to keep me flying high.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're really going to be true to the gospel, Jesus says, no, you're going to get into the dirt, the pain, the suffering, this narrow path. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have trial and tribulation. And all for love of me. That's the mission. he calls us into. You know, somebody, I remember, you know, hearing this too. People would say, when priests would leave the priesthood, I heard somebody once told me, they said, boy, it really took courage for him to leave the priesthood. And I said, you know, maybe it takes more courage
to stay.
Yes.
And the same thing could be said of marriage, you know, and I know some marriages, you know, it's inevitable. And maybe in the case of some priests, but it takes a lot of courage. Sometimes more courage to stay in a marriage and weather the storm, to stay in the priesthood and weather the storm. Because you have to pass through many storms. And those storms and those battles, there a lot of it is, some of it is our own doing. Sometimes it's for our own good. You know, God is bringing us to even to a deeper faith, deeper wisdom. We have to be willing to suffer the things of this world because it's inevitable. And Jesus didn't spare himself anything. He freely gave of himself to atone for our sins and to redeem us and to save us. And he said we've got to come down that same path, you know. But for those who have faith and who persevere, it's life-giving. I look back and I think the great, even the cancer has been the, I've told people this, and it may sound somewhat strange, but it's been the most blessed time in my priesthood because it's taught me a lot. Allow me to see things that I never saw before and even tap with greater compassion, empathy into the sufferings of others. And even to say, you know, my God, you know, I'm not even, I might look at, especially the young people, so that it's even the point of not saying, Lord, you know, save me from this. Cure me. I don't know that I've ever even asked the Lord to heal me. Because I look at these young people and I think, geez, I've lived my life. But, you know, give them life. It takes more courage to live than to die, to induce or to inflict, to check out. Yeah. Now, again, I'm not going to play psychologist because I don't know, you know, I don't want to do that. But I want to talk about this. If there's a 30% increase in suicide, we have to ask ourselves, why is that? There's a reason for it. You know, the Kate Spade, she hung herself, this fashion designer, just a few days ago. Her husband was in the home. Her maid was there. She left a suicide note that said, to her daughter, 13 years old, Bia, I've loved you always. This is not your fault. Ask Daddy. Now that girl, that child, 13 years old, and you see pictures of the mother and child, and you just, your heart bleeds for the child. Mm-hmm. She's got to live with that.
Wow.
Anthony Bourdain. I like the man. What I saw of him. I mean, he's a chef. I envied his life. Mm-hmm. He's all over the world. He's eating all kinds of food. I didn't like some of the stuff he was eating, but some of it was really bizarre. Right. But he seemed to enjoy it. He had met people, you know, to be in communion and to gather and feast around a table and just to enjoy life, you know. I thought, what a life.
And to share that gift.
Yeah. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
But I read he had no religion, was raised with no religion. His mother was a Catholic. His father was Jewish, or vice versa. But they didn't, no religion practiced in the home. They had no religion. There was even a quote where he said, well, certainly he used cocaine, heroin, LSD, mm-hmm. formerly, he did the, you know, he was, he said we were high all the time. This is when he worked in a restaurant in Soho in New York City in 1981. He said we were high all the time, sneaking off to walk in refrigerators at every opportunity to conceptualize. Hardly a decision was made without drugs, cannabis, I don't even know how to say these drugs, methamphetamine, cocaine, LSD. Oh, there's other drugs soaked in honey, used to sweeten tea, heroin. He says we used to send a Spanish-speaking busboy over to Alphabet City to get the drugs.
Wow.
What does that say? I mean, I like the man.
Mm-hmm.
He said as well, I just read this just in the last 45 minutes, mm-hmm. just as I was running into the studio. I got to see if I can find it. But he said he spoke about having things to live for, feeling reasonably happy. This was in his last interview. He says, I have... He said that he had contemplated suicide several times. He said, this is his quote. He says, there have been times, honestly, in my life that I figured, I've had a good run. Why not just do this stupid thing, this selfish thing, jump off a cliff into water of indeterminate depth? In retrospect, I don't know that I would do that today, now that I'm a dad and reasonably happy. Mm. But he did say, why not do this stupid thing, this selfish thing?
Selfish.
That's what he said. Spoke about his happiness. So, we got to take a break. And then I'll come back and I want to share with you a response, his friend's response to his suicide. And again, just put it in your head. He said of himself, he has no religion. He had no religion. Was not raised in a religious home. He certainly was involved in drugs and the like. He contemplated suicide, even thought this would be a foolish thing, but selfish thing, but I've thought about it, you know, why not? But then I have reason to live, I have a daughter, I'm happy, you know? Again, Kate Spade, to her daughter, Bia, don't blame yourself, I love you very much, ask Daddy. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Save the dates for Prairie Fest. Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois.
More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
The winds of change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go. Hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're talking about the a couple of things, I guess, right? The suicide of Anthony Bourdain, a chef, a CNN. I forgot the name of the show that he was on, but it was quite good.
Yeah.
It went all over the world. Excuse me. All over the world, you know, communion with others, the feast, the meal, all this is very beautiful. But he committed suicide. He hung himself, as did Kate Spade. There's been a 25-30% increase in suicides in the last decade of suicide in the United States. We have to ask ourselves why this is. At the same time, you know, I was speaking about the heart of Jesus, the Sacred Heart. That is the Holy Eucharist, that we have someone who has our back, somebody who wants us to lean into his heart to give meaning and purpose to life and to give us the strength to bear with life. We talked about that yesterday, right? Come to me, you who are weary, you who are tired, lonely. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. Think about God saying, I'm humble of heart. I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest. Anyway, how do we bring people to know? But see, you can't bring them to know what they don't want to know. And I'm not making a judgment just I'm not making a judgment on Anthony Bourdain. I don't know what was in his head. We have a little bit of an idea from his own words. You know, he had, in his life. But how do we bring people to know, love, to serve God, to know that God knows them and annoying them with all their faults and their wrinkles and their warts, as they say, right? That God, knowing them, loves them. He loves us. Knowing us, he loves us. And all the while, he serves us. But if we refuse him, which is, St. Paul said that. That was the reading, I believe, yesterday evening. As a matter of fact, it was, you know. St. Paul said that if we... In fact, this is interesting. I got to get into this other thing too, but St. Paul, who's going through his own suffering, and he says, you know, he's speaking to Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, he says, remember, Jesus Christ raised from the dead a descendant of David. Such is my gospel for which I am suffering. I'm suffering for this gospel to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen. That's an interesting point, you know. I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. So like, you know, as a priest, if I'm going through a very difficult time, and I have, who hasn't? And I thought, wow, I'd just want to walk away from all this. you know, to be thrown into the pain of others, to be thrown into the den of lions, in a sense, you know, when you've got, you know, just when you think of all the stuff, sometimes I don't want to think, I don't want to talk, I don't want to preach, you know? I don't want to deal with this or that or whatever it might be. I mean, any parent can say that. But for you, I persevere. For love of God and obedience to God, but for you, a mother to a child. I mean, can you imagine? Again, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I feel so bad for her, but I feel worse for her daughter, yeah. Kate Spade. Bia, her daughter's name is Bia. Bia, don't see this as your fault. I love you. I've always loved you. Ask Daddy. Or, in the case of Anthony Bourdain. But St. Paul says we persevere. If we persevere, we will reign with him. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's life beyond death. If we deny him, he will deny us. Because he has to respect us, right? He can't force, let's say, you can't give to people what they don't want. If we deny him, he has no choice but to deny us. If we are unfaithful, though, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. You get that?
Yeah.
So a response to Anthony Bourdain's suicide from his friend. The guy's name is Val Kilmer. Do you know who that is?
Val Kilmer,
oh,
yeah.
He was Batman.
He was Batman.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
See,
here's what he said, and the people are responding. The media, the celebrity, the gods of our society respond in a very harsh way. But here's what he said. I'm glad he said it. Val Kilmer says, Kilmer, from every corner of the world, you were loved. So selfish.
Wow.
So selfish. You've given us cause to be so angry. A spiritual guide once told me suicide is the most selfish act a human can execute, and I was confused, but she explained there's just no mental place further away from humanity and purpose than the hypnotized numbness that creates the false picture of despair that forces the victim unaware to believe life's legacy is over. Those of us that knew you are shocked and angry and angry and angry, selfishly angry for what you just did to us. Oh, darkness, my prayer before the light breaks this morning of June 8th is that it doesn't ever again fool another warrior like you who chased the hot slice of momentary satisfaction around the world 15 times but found no reason for 16.
Wow.
And then listen to this. He said, he alludes to his own battle with throat cancer. Would you have taken your life 2 years ago when, like me, you were unable to take in food, move it with your tongue over your taste buds because your tongue was too swollen? Is it too swollen? I think and dream and plan on eating and tasting and enjoying every meal I've ever enjoyed and every meal I've learned to enjoy in my imagination, although I have never met a meal I didn't like in the last 40 years except anything with too much cilantro. Was that it? You woke up and realized you were so hungry, that you were no longer hungry? Anyway, you get the point.
Yeah.
And people are criticizing him.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
But he's right. You did this to yourself, and in doing that, look what you've done to us. Yeah. It takes, again, you know, I'm not going to play psychologist. Mm-hmm. I know I deal with people's problems all the time, and I have great compassion and empathy, and, you know, I've dealt with suicide, and so I'm not here to, you know, condemn. But I guess I'm speaking to the living right now. Those who may, you know, be in the pits, maybe you're at rock bottom, maybe everything around you seems to have gone haywire, maybe you're on the verge of despair at the precipice, you're in darkness, you're in the desert, whatever, wherever, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We have to learn to fight the good fight. We have to weather these storms. You know? And we, for love of God, for love of our people, for love of each other, St. Paul says, I'm suffering, but I've chosen, but I do this for you. I do this for you. I'm not gonna run away. You know, even a crisis of faith, you know, we have to, the saints speak about that. St. Therese, I was talking about this last night at Mass, St. Therese spoke of her own struggle with atheism at a time in her life when she didn't even believe that God existed, but she persevered in faith, you know? Because I tell you, if we don't have faith, and Jesus said, if it's but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But if we don't have faith, if I, you know, I think about this all the time, you know, what am I trying to say? That was the gospel the other day. Jesus says, he was challenged, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, they're putting him to the test, right? Mm-hmm. And he recited the Shema from the Old Testament, love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit, with all your understanding. That's the first commandment, Jesus said. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But notice, it's God, neighbor, self, in that order. We have a responsibility to each other. And I'm telling, and those who have, I mean, we read the stories of great people, and what most inspires us is how they dealt with their sufferings, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody, any great person, any great wise person who has told a story or has so inspired if there hadn't been some real suffering in their life. Because we can relate. We understand. I think it was Jacqueline Kennedy on Asses. I always think about this. She was asked how she survived, and she said, or how she dealt with all the, or maybe it was her, it was Rosemary Kennedy. You know, we're out of time, and but she suffered so many, the death of so many children and all that. And she said, you know, she held up the rosary. This is the chain that bound me to God. I think it was Jacqueline who said, the miracle of life is that we do survive, but not without faith. Not without faith. We've got to lean into the heart of Jesus. Lean into that heart. And it's tangible because it's the Eucharist, our holy communion with God, our adoration, adoratio, to mouth, to kiss, to embrace. That's the kind of intimacy God wants with each and every one of us, even if all we can do is taste the dry dirt of the desert or feel the dark of the night. No matter how dark the dark is, the light is more powerful. Jesus says, I am the light, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread. I am the door. I am who am. Thanks for being with us. Have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it not take